we're going to start on the bottom of Mem Ted Amud Bet by the Mishnah at the beginning of the parak. So it begins, it's a somewhat cryptic Mishnah, which the Gemara is going to take time to explain, which is Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Shalosh Avanim, Zubitzad Zu. You have three rocks, three stones that are placed one next to each other, adjacent to each other. Bitzad Markulus. They're also adjacent to a Markulus. Markulus is an Avodah Zarah. We've seen this in Sanhedrin. But the standard Markulus is two stones on the bottom and one stone placed on top of it. And some sort of triangle, but made or pyramid-looking thing that has two stones at the base and then a stone on top of it. But in this instance, you have three in a row. Instead of having a two at the base and one on top of three in a row, but it is adjacent to another Markulus. So those are Asurot, if you have those three stones. Ushtaim muturot, and two are mutar. V'chomim omrim, v'chomim give a different qualification. Sheni ot imo, those stones that are found proximate to the Markulus, those are asurot. Sheni rot imo, stones that are not proximate or adjacent to the Markulus, mutarot, those are mutarot. Now generally the way the Markulus works is, again, you have two stones in the base, a stone on top, and then people, passerbys, it was usually put at some sort of intersection or fork in the road, and the worship was done by passerbys used to throw stones at the Markulus. So when you throw stones to the Markulus, those stones, according to the Rabbanan, at least seems to become a part of the Markulus itself and extend or expand the Avodah Zarah. Now the Gemara is going to attempt to explain what Rabbi Shmuel is dealing with and what the Chachamim are dealing with. Bishlamar Rabbanan, according to Rabbanan, we can understand. Kasavre, they believe, Ovdim Lishvarim. People do worship to these broken pieces, or basically the stones that are thrown at the Markulus, and either if they knock off a portion of the Markulus, or they gather around the Markulus, people would worship those individual parts. Therefore, any stones that are found, Anirotimo, those that are found with it, Deiklamemar Mine Nafal, the assumption being that since they are proximate or adjacent, they came from the Avodah Zarah itself, or from rocks that were thrown at the Avodah Zarah. Therefore, Asurot. On the other hand, Sheini Rotimo, those that are not adjacent or proximate, Mutarot, because we won't assume they came from the Avodah Zarah itself, or they were stones thrown at the Avodah Zarah. Therefore, they are Mutarot. Ela Rabbi Shmuel, my Kazavar. What does Rabbi Shmuel hold? E Ovdim Lishvarim, if he believes that you do worship to broken pieces or subsections of the Avodah Zarah, then afilu tarte nami litzar, then even two should be problematic. If they don't worship, again, broken pieces or stones that were thrown at the Avodah Zarah, afilu tlat nami lo, then even three should be mutarot. Why should it make a difference? Two or three, they're not proximate necessarily to the Avodah Zarah, and why should we assume that it came from the Avodah Zarah itself? So, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan. So, this is the principle we're going to work with for the next part of the Gemara, which is Biadua Shenishru Mimenu. If we know for certain that these stones came or separated from the Avodah Zarah itself, Divei Akol Asurot. In that case, everyone says they are Asurot. That's Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachamim believe. If we know for certain that they derived from the Avodah Zarah, that means either they were the Avodah Zarah or they were stones thrown at the Avodah Zarah. Either one of those are problematic, we know for certain that they came from the Avodah Zarah. V'afidu l'man da'amar, ein ovdim l'shvarim. Even according to the man da'amar, it says, we have a machlokas, whether people worship Shivrei, right, the Avodah Zarah or not. Even according to the one who says that they don't generally worship the Shvarim, hani mili ovdei chavim, t'lav hainu orche. That's only other types of Avodah Zarah where it's not the natural or normal way to worship it. Avahacha, demikaret v'rei mitvrei, here from the outset, the stones, even the three stones that are placed together, two with the one on top, are never cemented together, are never sealed together. And all that is thrown at it also is not sealed together. They're always loose, since they're always broken from the start in that sense. They're never really locked together. Then, hainu orche, that's the normal way. People assume that all the stones and everything that the Markulus involves is not going to be set in place. And since it's not set in place, they would worship even portions of it. So everybody's going to agree, if we know for certain it came from the Avodah Zarah itself, or was thrown at the Avodah Zarah, which then becomes a part of the Avodah Zarah, that is a surah. Keep lige. What's the machos between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shmuel's Bistama? Where we don't know whether it came or did not come from it. Now, even within Bistama, the Gemara is going to have to differentiate between two different possibilities. One is Krovot and one is Rechokot. And over there, we're going to explain. We're going to explain the Gemara according to Rashi, We'll point out at the end why Tosu sees, or along the way we'll point out why Tosu has issues with Rashi, but we're going to explain it now according to Rashi. Mikura vot, if they are close, proximate to the Markulus, Rashi says, what does it mean, Mikura vot? Kagon ba'ama v'chatzi yama, that within an ama or chatzi yama, within the, approximate to the Avodah Zarah itself. It's interesting that Rashi gives that as a definition. In Mikura vot, there's really no definition given by the Gemara. And why would you know, where do you come up with chatzi yama or ama being Mikura vot, being close by? That's not a standard measurement. Usually Dalet Amot, which we'll see as the next step. Right, we're normally expected to be Mikura vot. That's the next line in the Gemara. So that can't be the explanation here. But it's interesting, Rashi says, ama v'chatzi ama. Alright, so now, Mikura vot nami d'ikala meimar minei nofal, that there you could say that it came from the Avodah Zarah itself. Diri akol asurot. Then everybody agrees. Again, Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachamim are going to agree that that is asurot. Ki plige. So here's the machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. It's bimruchukot. When they are distant, when they have some sort of space between them and the Avodah Zarah. And Rashi says, what's mruchukot? That's ba'arbamot. Right, so that they're within Arba Amot. They're not outside of Arba Amot. They're actually within Arba Amot, but they're at the Arba Amot point. Where exactly the threshold between them is, it's not clear, because Rashi says that close is Ama and Chatzi Ama, and then Merchukot are something that has to be within reason, meaning that it's past Arba Amot, then it's definitely not a part of it. So it's within Arba Amot, but it's more than the Mikura Vot. It has to be more than the ones that are proximate. So it's a little bit of a gray area where Rashi is explaining. Now, because then we're going to assume that they didn't come from the Avodah Zarah itself. So here, people give Meruchakot. Ha, Bitzad Markulus Kutani. Our Mishnah says, Bitzad Markulus. That's Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Shloshavinim Zubazad Zu, Bitzad Markulus. Right adjacent to a Markulus. Over here, you're explaining Arba Amot as being a Meruchakot, is what their Machlokas is about. But yet the Mishnah says, Bitzad Markulus. That's what Omer says. Kutani. My bitzad, bitzad arba amot. That's exactly what bitzad means. Bitzad means adjacent within the arba amot of the markulus itself, and that's enough to be called bitzad markulus. Right, so now, what's their position? Rabbi Shmuel Savar osim markulus katan, bitzad markulus gadol. It's a basic machlokas here about whether they make a mini markulus next to a large markulus. That's it. Do they make a sub, or you know, a side Avodah Zarah next to the larger Avodah Zarah? So Rabbi Shmuel says yes. So Shlosh, the Damian, the Markulus, if you have three stones there that are similar to a Markulus, then a Surot, Shtayim, Mutarot. And then two, which doesn't look like a small Markulus, then it's not. Rabbanan Sabre, Enosim Markulus Katan, Bitzar Markulus Gadol. They don't believe that you believe that there's only a central Avodah Zarah. There's no side or sub Avodah Zarah that's next to it. So Loshna Shlosh, Loshna Shtayim, doesn't matter if there's three or two, near Otimo, Asurot. Those that are proximate are Asurot. Sheni Nirot, those that you cannot assume came from the Markulus itself, those are Mutarot. So Rabbi Shmuel's assumption is, even though they're further away, that normally would have assumed would have fallen away from the Avodah Zarah, nevertheless, since there is this concept that they place adjacent to a large Markulus, a small Markulus, we're going to assume that this is a small Markulus, not assume that these are rocks that fell away from the big Markulus, not assuming that these are rocks that were thrown at the Markulus, but this is actually a separate baby Markulus that's next to the daddy Markulus that's there. On the other hand, the Chachamim don't believe that. So if it's not proximate, if it's not something that you could have assumed fell away from the central Markulus, then there's no reason to believe that this is Avodah Zarah over here. And that's what their Machlokas will revolve around. Right now, the Gemara is going to ask a question about this. And this is where Rashi's Peshat becomes much more difficult, even though already it's somewhat difficult, but here it becomes very difficult. And here with Tosfos will point out why it's difficult. Amar, Biyadua Shinishru Mimenu Divri Akol Asurot. When he knows for certain that it broke away from the Avodah Zarah, everybody agrees it's Asurot. That was a statement made by Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Now the Gemara is going to challenge that. Viramini. Don't we have a bright? Abanim Shinishru Mina Markulus. Stones that broke away from the Markulus. Nirotimo Asurot. Shenirotimo Mutarot. Those that are adjacent, those that are obviously derived or could derive from the Markulus, those are Asurot. Shein nishro nirotimo mutarot. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, shalosh asurot, shtayim mutarot. So what do you see? You see from this braita, the braita is assuming shenishru. They broke away. They broke away from the bigger Markulus. And yet the Chachamim say, if they are proximate, asur. Not proximate, mutar. So here you have, before we had statement by Rabbi Yitzchak that everybody agrees when they are nishru that it's a surot. So first of all, the Chachamim have a qualification of nirot and in nirot, even though they definitely broke away from the Markalus. And number two is Rabbi Shmuel himself over here says three yes, two no. And here's a case where it's nishru, where they definitely broke away from the Markalus. So that would be a problem for the statement of Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef. So here the Rabbi answers that it's not a problem. Reread the Mish Breita. The Breita should not say Nishru, Ela Nimtzu, that they were found. Which would make somewhat sense here. Right. It's very hard to understand both of their opinions. Nishru, if you know for certain it's coming from it, right, then what is their opinions here? It's very hard to understand their opinions. So that's what Rabbi says. It's a mistake, or he has to amend the Breita to read Nimtzu, that they were found. And then that makes sense, because that can fit into the position of Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, because Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef's opinion really revolves around the idea that only when we know for certain it came from it is that Kulab Kuyama Asrot. When we're Nimtzu, when they're found, that's when we have to start measuring whether it really belongs to it, does not belong to it, even if it doesn't belong to it, maybe it's a sub or a mini Markalus. So that makes more sense. That Breita can be reconciled with the Mishnah. But now the next piece, which becomes problematic, Rabbi Shmuel, Shtayim Mutarot. Does Rabbi Shmuel really believe that two are Mutarot? Vatanya, we have a Breita. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Shtayim Bitfisa Lo Asurot. Shlosh Afilim Bechukot Asurot. Two, which are within the grasp of the Markalus, those are Asurot. Shlosh Afilim Bechukot. Three, even far away, those are Asurot. Now this becomes a problem, this position of Rabbi Shmuel. And Rashi over here, by the way, says Stam Tfisa is Dalet Amot. So that means within Dalet Amot. So now you have within Dalet Amot, and Rabbi Shmuel is saying that even two within Dalet Amot are Asurot. Now we started out, this whole position of Rabbi Yitzchak starts at number one, if we know for certain it came from there, Asurot. Second thing, it said, Bim Mikura Volt, everybody agrees that Nafal Minei and Asdivriakol Asurot. Everything is Asur. So what do they argue? They argue Bim Mikhukot. Now Rabbi Shmuel over here all of a sudden comes in and says, Shtayim b'tfisalo, two within Arba Amot, those are Asurot. Now that's the third thing that we said, which is b'mruchukot, when they're far away, then Rabbi Shmuel says, three Asurot, two Mutarot. And that's Dalet Amot. And here we're saying b'tfisa, within Dalet Amot, Rabbi Shmuel still says two are problematic. But that's exactly where we said Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is. Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is a case where they are Dalet Amot away, or within those Dalet Amot, not too close, not within an Amor or Chatzi Amot, according to Rashi, but further away, but within four Amot. And Rabbi Shmuel over there says that's, if it's three, it's a mini Markalus. If it's two, then they're Mutarot. All of a sudden we have a Breit that comes along and says within four Amot, that's B'tfisa Shalo, then two are Asurot. So that goes against the way we've now established the Mishnah.
That is not because they're mini Markalus. That's because they...
Right.
The names will come from the...
Which undermines, again, that's still against the position of Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, which is that once you get beyond the proximate Amar, Chatzi Amar, then we believe that they don't assume they come from the Markalus. And the only reason to be Oser is because they are a mini Markalus.
It seems for her that we use the definition of the word before. By the time, it's not our Markalus today.
Right, that's correct. But tfisah, the two assumptions are that betzad means bedalat amot, and tfisah achat also means dalat amot. That's where your problem is. So now the Gemara's solution is going to be amarav alo kasha. There's no problem here. Kam betfisah achat, kam b'shtei tfisot. One is within tfisah achat, one is in two tfisot. Now, what does it mean betfisah achat and shtei tfisot? So let's leave Rashi over here, because this is where Rashi's answer becomes more complicated, and where his whole sheet becomes more complicated. So look in the Rashi betfisah achat. Hadik tani asurot betfisa achat. When we say they are sur, that's within Dalet Amot. She'en hefseik bein am the Markalus. Since there is no separation between them, now not separation being distance, but rather there's no other item that is between the Markalus and these rocks. So there we assume vasura ben the Rabbi Shmuel ben the Rabbanan. That's going to be asur between the Rabbi Shmuel and the Rabbanan. T'chol tok Dalet Amot nirot imo karile. So here is a new position all of a sudden for Rashi. Rashi until this point said that Nirot meant Amma and Chatzi Amma. Nirot Imo meant within an Amma or Chatzi Amma. And then Betzad meant four Amot. Also now Rashi redefines it. Within Dalet Amot is considered to be Nirot Imo. Now if four Amot is Nirot Imo, then that undermines everything that we said before. So now Rashi says, okay, what about before? Ushlosh Mechukot Hu Depligi. And they argue with three that are far away. Before I already said that their machlokas ruchu kakot was within dalet amot. That's talking about two tfisot. That's talking about when there's something that is mafsik b'nehem. And then there's something else that divides between the machlokas and these stones. So the way Rashi defines it now. Now, what Rashi says now is not so difficult. The only thing that's difficult with Rashi is because of what he said before. What he said before then makes it more difficult what he's saying now. So before, Rashi said that Bakura avot, close by, meant anama or chatzi ama. Mirchukot meant within four amot. Within four amot, that's called mirchukot. Now all of a sudden Rashi says, what's nirotimo? Nirotimo is dalet amot. Nirotimo is dalet amot. Ah, what about the Gemara before? What about everything we said before? How come over there we said mirchukot, they argue, mikuravot, they don't argue? What happened to all of that? That, the difference between that, what we said before, and what we say now, is tfisa achat and shtei tfisot. So Rashi is saying, I didn't change my definition. The definition is different in these two instances, but it has to do with what the circumstances surrounding them are. In the first case, when I defined it as nirotimo being an amana chatziyama, and any nirotimo being four amot, that was a case where there be shtei tfisot. That's where there's something else that's sitting between the markulus and these stones. So if they are very close, even though there's something in between, we assume they fell from the markulus. When there is something else between them and they are then within four amot, but not within the very kamakura vot maot, then we assume since there's something else dividing between them that they did not come from the markulus. Ah, why is Rabbi Shmuel Oser then if they didn't come from the markulus? That's his mini markulus situation. He thinks that they put a mini markulus there. Three, only if they're three, not two. So that's the way Rashi will say our first case. Now, this brisa that we just brought over here, Rabbi Shmuel says, well, even within four amot, even two are problematic. That's betfisa achat. When there's nothing that separates between the markulus and these stones, anything within four amot is considered makura avot. Now that would be, or nirotimo, which would have been, as you said before, Shoal, that would have been the most obvious definition. If you told me makura avot, we know halakhically there is a definition called four amot. That's called within the proximity or within the adjacency of the markulus. That is four amot. And that's what Rashi says. That's when it's tfisa achat. But then tfisa achat, then the Rabban and Rabbi Shmuel, everybody agrees. Anything with four amot, the stone that you find there, is considered shayach to the markulus. Because there's nothing else dividing between them. Why are there stones here? Stones here, any stone within four amot is considered being within the sphere of influence of the markulus. And that'll be asurot. So that is the answer given for Rashi, or based on Rava's answer, according to Rashi. Now, the difficulty, and this is what Tosafot points out, is that he says, "Vavo derech hashas kacha," that the Torah, the Gemara doesn't usually do this, where they'll change the definition of something as they're moving. Nirotimo, according to Rashi before, was an amah and chatzi amah. All of a sudden here, Nirotimo is considered to be four amot, and then they're trying to reconcile. He says, that's not derech hashas to have a definition change in the middle without giving you the indication that it changed. And that's why Tosis takes issue with it. We'll come back to Tosis in a second, but I'm just pointing out where we pointed out the difficulties in Rashi, but I want to explain the Gemara entirely according to Rashi. Then, Gemara says, Sveichi Dami, what's the case of a Tfisa and not a Tfisa? Deika Govha Benu Veni. What is a Tfisa Achad and the two Tfisot? Is if there's a pile in between. Deika Govha, something that has height or something of height, there's a tell that sits between the markulus and the other stones. Right, not a pile of stones, obviously. A pile of something else. Otherwise, obviously, the pile of stones could mean extension of the markulus. That's why she's used the word tell, I think, for more exact, that it's some sort of dirt pile or something that sits between the markulus and the stones over here. So that's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Again, the difficulty in Rashi is that the word makura avot, or nirotimo, changes from the first to the second. His answer is that tfisa achat shtei tfisot. That's the case. That's how I change the definition in between them. And that's Rava's answer. Tosfos, on the other hand, says, if you look down at Tosfos, it's in the narrow lines of Tosfos, right? And I already told you that he has questions of Rashi. He says, Kasha Batuva. He has many questions of Rashi. Chado de'ein shushita da Talmud shnishtane asvarakach. That's in the way of the Gemara, to change their svar also in the middle. Now, the answer is, Lachin Nira. It's 2, 4, 5, 6 lines up in the narrow lines of the Tosfos. 6 lines up from the bottom of the narrow lines in the Tosfos. Chin Nira Lafresh. Dololom kachi asvara. That within four amot, the svara is always this way. That within four amot, some are considered to be nirot, some are considered not to be nirot. And that's why before the Gemara says, what does it mean? Bitzad markus merchu kavot was dalet amot. So you see that. V'hachi perusho kam betfisa achat delekad kovha betoch dalet amot v'afakav she'en nirot. This is the explanation. When it's a tfisa achat, that there's no govha, there's no pile there, and it's within Dalet Amot, even though they're not Nirot. So even though they're not necessarily look like they were adjacent, approximate, or belonging to it, Kamar Rabbi Shmuel, the Filu Shtayim Asarot, Damalei Markus Katan, Heim. They'll say it's... No, they will say, Ini Rotimar is Mutar. So why does Rabbi Shmuel, you have to understand why does Rabbi Shmuel over here say two is enough? That's because, Damalei Markus Katan, Heim, Heim, Kashem, B'tochat Alamot, B'gaf Kashtayim, Avalachat Mutarot. It's one, then it's not a problem. The Be'eni wrote to Myri. We're talking about a case where it's too far away to be considered adjacent, approximate. So here the Chachamim are saying it's Mutarot. V'chad Marklus Lo'abdei. Nobody makes one stone into Marklus. V'chad HaKamadayal Rabbi Shmuel Beis Bet Mutarim. What does Rabbi Shmuel say? Two are okay. Myri Beit Fisot. That's when it's two. There's a separation between them. Going to Ika Gova. Gave it to Ika Gova. Endless or Bet. Delosh Chichel Aso Marklus Katan. B'tzad Kado. Hecha to Ika Gova Abe. In that time. You don't make a small Marklus next to a big Marklus when there's something dividing between them. Aval shalosh. But if you put three asrot, I feel like you could go by when there's something separating. The gaven shehein zu betzad zu. Mucha milta, the Marklus Levina. Since they were all adjacent, it sounds like they made another Marklus over here. Rabbanan sabi loshna tfizacha, loshna shtei tfizot, loshna shtayim, loshna shalosh, nirot asrot, enirot mutarot. Enosim Marklus katan, betzad Marklus gadol. So what Tosfos does in the change or the movement in the Gemara, he says, I leave all the definitions the same. Merucha kot is 4 amot away, even within 4 amot. That's called 4 amot. It's called merucha kot. Mikuravot, he's going to have to define like Rashi somehow. That means very close by. Or nirotimo, they're considered to be adjacent and proximate. Now, what changed from the beginning to the end is our understanding of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel always agrees that when they are in nirotimo, they're not adjacent, they're not visible, they're not considered to be falling away from the Marklus. Rabbi Shmuel always agrees one rock is meaningless, just like the Chachamim. One rock over, one stone over there doesn't mean anything. Now, his definition changed when it's 2 and 3 stones. That makes the difference between what divides between the Marklus Gadol and this Marklus Katan, the mini Marklus. If you have nothing separating between the big Marklus and the small Marklus, we're going to consider 2 stones to be a mini Marklus. And therefore, it's considered to be a mini Marklus next to a big Marklus. On the other hand, if you have some sort of pile or some gova between them, then only if you have 3 is it considered to be a Marklus. Not when there are 2 is it considered to be a Marklus. So the only thing changed, or the Tfisa Achad, Shtei Tfisot, changes our understanding of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel, we think, means 3 yes, 2 no. That's all we know about Rabbi Shmuel. Then also we get a bright that says 2 yes also. So now how do we do that? That's where Rabbi Rova comes to explain that. Tfisa Achad and Shtei Tfisot. Within Tfisa Achad, even 2 are Surot. Because that's considered a mini Marklus. When as it's Shtei Tfisot, then Rabbi Shmuel makes the statement of our mission, which is 3 yes, 2 no. And that's how Rabbi Tosfos reads our Gemara. All right, so now, the Gemara wants to know here, Marklus ki agav mi havi. Where did you get such a Marklus? Meaning we know what the definition of Marklus is. A Marklus, and this question is both a question in terms of our Mishnah, which is Zubitzadzu, 3 adjacent to each other, and he's calling that a mini Marklus. Or even now, the way we've reread the Braita according to Tosfos, it'll even be a question this way, which is, you have a mini Marklus that can even be 2. So now we know it. We have a definition. We already have this in the Gemara Bava Metzia. Tells us what is it? Vatanya Rav Braisa Elu Heinav Nei Beit Kolus. These are the stones of a Beit Kolus. Achat Mikan, Vachat Mikan, Vachat Agavehen. One next to each other, right? I mean, 2 adjacent, and then 1 on top of it. That's some sort of triangle or pyramid-looking set of stones. So how could you say over here all of a sudden we have a new definition of what a Marklus is? Samarava, Kitanya Hayibi Ikur Mokulus. That's the central or primary Marklus. That's what it has to look like. So, but when you're talking about over here, we're talking about a mini Marklus over here. We're talking about a Marklus that's adjacent to another Marklus. In that case, then we could say 3 adjacent to each other, or just 2 is enough to be a mini Marklus. So within the sphere of a big Marklus, then you can have these mini Marklus that aren't exactly the same. But if you're going to talk about an ikor, primary Marklus, then you're right. It's not a Marklus unless you have 2 stones plus 1 on top to be classified as a Marklus.
Even the mini Marklus, you need 3 stones.
Depending if there's Tfisa Achad, there's Tfisot, according to the way Tosfos was learning. According to Rashi, you're right. Three stones. Always need 3 stones, right. Right now, the Tosfos asked the question, Rabbeinu Tam asked this question. Yes, it here, yes, in other places as well. In Sanhedrin, he asked the question. It says, Hikshir Rabbeinu Tam, Eich Maskirin Shema. How can we mention the name of the Marklus? Kevin Sheinu Ktuva B'Torah. You're only allowed to say the name of Avodah Zarah that's written in the Torah. You're not, otherwise, you're not allowed to say the shame of Avodah Zarah, because it says, "V'shem Elohim Achirim Lo Taskiru." You're not allowed to mention foreign gods. How can we mention a foreign god over here? So, V'omer Rabbeinu Tam. This is where Rabbeinu Tam says the same thing as Sanhedrin. The Kilus Lashon Shevach. Kilus and Liklos means to praise. It's a positive term. Shema. And that's its real name. V'chamim pinu ota, or kinu ota kolis, lashon ma'ad vakeles. Right, so they changed it from kilus being praised to lag vakeses, which is laughter or derision. Right, I mean that's a negative term, and that's what the word means. Mar kulus, mar like mar cheshvan. We use the same thing of mar cheshvan. Why is it called mar cheshvan? Because there are no holidays in it. Right, so that's a negative term, you know, term towards cheshvan. So also here, mar kulus. Right, that means the chiluf of kilus, the opposite of kilus, the opposite of praise. Lashon mar dishchuta. Right, so that's what they're doing over here. Instead of saying kulis or beit kulis, which would have been the avodah zarah, they're saying mar kilus, the opposite of kulis, the opposite of praise, which means kilus, derision. So that's what they're doing. That's what Rabbeinu Tam says. That's how we can say mar kulus over here, and we're not saying the avodah zarah itself, even though the Brisa just said beit kulis, which would have been the avodah zarah itself. He says we use the term mar kulus in order to describe it or to speak about the avodah zarah, because we don't want to say the name of the avodah zarah. So now be yanai malka charuf. The some sort of palace, I guess, of Yanai, or a place or house of Yanai was destroyed. Ato de Chavim, some worshippers of Israel came, Okimu Beit Markulu Beit Markulus. They set up with the stones from this ruins of the area, they piled up some stones and made it into a Markulus. Ato de Chavim Achrini. Then other of the Chavim came along who didn't, obviously, the little pocket of the Markulus, who didn't worship the Markulus. Shalklinu, they took those stones, Vechibu Behendrachim Vistartaot. They went in and used them for paving the thoroughfares and the side streets, or they different roads. They went ahead and they used them as paving stones. So ikid rabban the parshiv, ikid rabban the parshiv. Some rabbanim would walk on that road. Others would not walk on the road. So here you have an avodah zarah that was taken by other ovdei avodah zarah who do not believe in it, and then they used it as paving stones. So now you have a problem. We know that the Gemara tells us that an ovdei avodah zarah is allowed to be mevatel the avodah zarah of another ovdei zarah. So over here it seems like they took the avodah zarah, they were mevatel it because they made it into paving stones. Now they're going to ride on the road and it's obviously not avodah zarah anymore. So why is it problematic? So I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Benan shel kadoshin, the children of those that are kodesh, or really here it's a singular form, though, the child of those that are kadoshim, aleich aleim, walks on them. Vana nifreshmim, and we're going to separate from them? So manu benan shel kadoshim, who is the one who's benan kadoshim? Rabbi Menachem, but Rabbi Simai. He's the one we're talking about. Rabbi Menachem Sinai had no problem walking on that road. But Mike Early, benan shel kadoshim, why do you call him the son of those that are holy? The afilu b'tzurata d'zuzolom mistakel. He was so makpid on avodah zarah that he would not even look at the image that was found on a coin. That he felt that he was dissing himself, and that was a midat chasidut, as Tosos points out over here. Even though, in general, we hold that you're not allowed to look, nobody's allowed to look at these images that are found on any, you know, engraven images. There we didn't deal with this yet, whether it's a protruding image or a image that is projected inwards, it might make a difference. It has to be bolate in order to be problematic versus if it's pressed in with the chotem, right? We had that, but the chotem, right? So that might make a difference over here. But Tosa says, well, over here, everybody should be asur in these tzura. What's so special about him? So Tosa says something very interesting. He says, v'shem v'tzurata d'zuza, sh'ragil roto dat tadir, v'shaychi bei hafna'a. Over there, it's not called botifnu el elalim. It's not going turning towards avodah zarah because you see it every day. And he still didn't do it. So it's interesting. The Tosa says here, like the dashi bei rabim almost. When it's dashi bei rabim, maybe that's not considered to be botifnu el elalim because it's in constant use. It's constantly available. That's not considered when you look at the zarah. That's not considered looking at avodah zarah. On the other hand, right, if it wasn't something that's common, that would be considered avodah zarah. So his midat chasidah was that he wouldn't even look at the image that is protruding out of the coin. All right, so then what does that mean over here? That means over here that even here, someone who was so makbid about avodah zarah, nevertheless, what did he do? He was willing to walk on this street. He was willing to walk on these stones. So why, if he's willing to walk on the stones, why won't we be willing to walk on these stones? It should be fine.
It's just his answer there. Because it's so widespread, so common, it's still to be what a lot of people say, in terms of the way women dress, like that it's not like getting on the bus behind the emotions, right?
By not getting on behind the woman, it's not going to prevent you from not being stuck next to someone else who's not dressed properly either, right? What you're saying is used, is that's used by the Aruch HaShulchan, and that's probably where it's probably used is by the Aruch HaShulchan says that even though Ser Ba'isha Erva, the woman's hair is erva, and you're not allowed to say Kriyat Shema next to a woman who has her hair uncovered. He says, since today everybody walks around with their hair uncovered, maybe that's not classified as an erva anymore to say Kriyat Shema next to it. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. That's very similar to what you're saying over here. The Dashi Bei Rabin, maybe that changes the definition. Now you have to say that hair is different than a core erva. Right, it's a different type of erva where it's not inherent erva. And that's why when people cover it, that's when it's problematic. When people uncover it, then it's no longer problematic. But that's a similar type of idea. The Dashi Bei Rabin, when it becomes just a common thing, then maybe it's not classified anymore as being problematic. My time at the Mondo Parish. So what's the reasoning behind the one who separated? Sovrala kiha, the Amar of Gidol, Amar of Chir Bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi, minayin l'takrovet avorech chavim she'in la'a b'teila olamit. However, that something that is sacrificed towards Avodah Zarah, something that's used in the service of Avodah Zarah, can never be annulled. She'ne'amar v'yitzmedu l'bal po'or v'yachlu zivchei meitim, ma'amet ein lo b'teila olamit, just like someone who's dead is always dead. Right after takrovet avorech chavim, ein lo b'teila olamit. So too, something that's used in the service of Avodah Zarah can never be nitbatel, can never be annulled, never be nullified in any way. So over here, they classify these stones as not being Avodah Zarah itself, but rather being tikrovet Avodah Zarah. If it's tikrovet Avodah Zarah, even when they take it then and use it to pave the ways, you can't be mevatel the shame tikrovet Avodah Zarah. Mandalo parish, right? The one who did not separate, I mean, the ones who walked on these roads. Amar beina ke'en pnim, veleka. You need worshiping that's ke'en pnim. Have to do something that's similar to what's done in the Mikdash. In that the service here has to be some sort of service that it replicates or similar to something you would do inside. The Lekka, you don't have over here. What do you mean? Nobody throws rocks, you know, inside the Mikdash. Then rocks or stones are not used as a part of the worship or part of the service inside the Mikdash. And so therefore it's not defined as being tekrovet Avodah Zarah. And here they're thinking that the rocks themselves are Avodah Zarah. When they're Avodah Zarah themselves, you can be mevatel it. But if you couldn't classify it as a tekrovet can only be classified when it's something that you would do bifnim. So that's something that you do bifnim. So here, since the rocks are throwing stones, it's not something you do bifnim. That's not classified as to grow, but it becomes an extension of the Avodah Zarah itself. It's an extension of the Avodah Zarah itself. You can be mevatel it. Amar Rabbi Yosef Barabo, Iklo Rabo Bar Yirmiyahu Le'Atrin. Rabbi Reitzin came to our city. Ve'atav Aiti Madita Biyadei. He brought a price along with it. Ove Iklo Chavim Shevi Avanim Min Amarkabus V'Chipe Ben Drachim V'Tartiyot. He went and used and he paved a thoroughfare or a theater with those stones. Mutarot. Israel should be avanim mina marklos. On the other hand, if a Jew does it, v'chipa ben drachim v'sartiot asurot, they're problematic. V'leit nagar v'lo bar nagar de if defarkine. So we don't have a nagar a tamar chacham, lo bar nagar a son of a tamar chacham. Defarkine can explain this. Why is there a difference between a Jew who does it and a oved kochavim that does it? We have no way of understanding the difference over here. So Amar Rav Sheshet, Ano lo nagar, Bano lo bar nagar. I'm not a Talmud Chacham, I'm not the son of a Talmud Chacham, Ano uparik nolei. And I'll explain it to you. My kushya, what was the problem here? So my kushya lei, the Rav Gidol, the problem is Rav Gidol, and Rav Gidol before said that takrovet avodah zarah en abetela olamit. So what's the answer? The answer is, like we said before, that those who are parshi is that ke'en pinim v'leka, that this is not be'ina ke'en pinim, you need something that's like the worship in between, and v'leka, you don't have that. Right, so now you have, we had a question about a braita, and since the, what's your question over here? Why is it muteret? Why is it asur? So the muteret and asur, we define over here, we understand it, and now because you needed kein panim v'leka, so therefore it's not tekrovet avodah zarah. If it's not tekrovet avodah zarah, then it's avodah zarah itself. If it's avodah zarah itself, we need someone to be mevatel it. So if the Obi Chachom himself is mevatel it, then we're okay. If the Jew comes along and mevatel it, that doesn't work. He can't be mevatel the avodah zarah of someone else. The other person has to do it, and since he's using the stones in their whole form, it's not like it's destroyed or crushed up. He's using the stone itself to pave the ground. There he needs the Obed avodah zarah to be mevatel it. And now we have another statement. Amar Rav Yosef Bar Abba Ikla Rabba Bar Yirmiyahu Le'Atrin. So it's a very similar type of form that we had before. That Rabba Bar Yirmiyahu comes to our city. He brought a price along with it. So this has nothing to do with our Gemara. It's a totally different bright, totally different sugya. It's a very interesting and important sugya. But it has nothing to do with Avodah Zarah. The only similarity between them is the statement of Rabbi Yosef Bar Abba. The Rabba Bar Yirmiyahu came to our city and brought with him a braita that we couldn't answer. So before we had the braita we couldn't answer. Now we answered it. Along came Rish Sheshet and answered it. Now we have another braita. Matzlin umizamin b'shvi'it. One is allowed to deworm a tree. Umizamin, as Rashi says over here, is to place dung on a wound or a part where the bark is missing and wrap it up to protect the tree. B'shvi'it. That you're allowed to do shvi'it. Vein matzlin umizamin b'moed. You're not allowed to do it b'chol moed. Kan v'kan ein megazmin. Whether it's shvi'it or chol ha'moed, one may not prune the tree in order for the other branches to grow stronger. But everybody agrees v'sachin shem l'gzom ben moed ben v'shvi'it. If it was already pruned prior to the moed or prior to shvi'it, and now the tree is in danger because of the pruning, that open section where it was cut, then one is allowed to put shem and oil on top of the pruned section, whether it's chol ha'moed or whether it's shvi'it. So v'leit nagar v'lo bar nagar diyif or kniya. So we have here that neither a Talmud Chacham, son of a Talmud Chacham, can answer or explain this brayta. So now the Gemara is going to try to explain. Ama Ravina, ana lo nagar. All right, ana lo nagar, ana lo bar nagar. Hana. It's he says I'm not a nagar, I'm not a bar nagar. I don't have any of these. And I'll explain it to you. Ma'ika kushile. What's the problem? Ilema moeda shvit kakashile. You think the problem is why is there a difference between chol moed and shvit? Right, the melacha should be asur both for shvi'it, and it should be asur and chol ha'moed, or it should be mutar in both. Why are we differentiating between shvi'it and chol ha'moed? So, mashna shvi'it is shari, mashna moed asur. That's the question. He says, I'll explain it to you. Midomi, there's no comparison between them. Shvi'it, melacha asar rachmono, tircha shari. And shvi'it, the problem is melachet avodah, the melacha that comes to the tree, or melachet akarka. So that's melacha done by the karka. Tircha, extra work that you do, if you extend yourself or you have to do extra labor, we don't worry about the shvi'it. Shvi'it is not a problem in labor, it's a problem in the avodah karka. On the other hand, moed, afilu tircha nami osur. By the moed, that's not true. By the moed, tircha, it's even. That's what we're worried about. And chol moed, we don't want you doing melacha, but we also don't want you doing things that are extraneous labor or extra labor undue, or necessary labor, because that's a pgam in chol moed. We don't want you doing that. So that's the difference between these. True, these are melachot that should be allowed. They're allowed because they're not considered melechet karka. So that's why they're allowed on shvi'it. On chol moed, they're asur, even though they're not melechet karka, because over there, they're still labor intensive, and we don't want you doing labor on chol moed. Right, says, okay, if that's the answer, veluzium agizum kakashule. So let's say, no, that's not the problem. What's the other problem? The problem is that it's zium agizum. What's the difference between zium and gizum? Why do we say that gizum is not allowed on shvi'it? Rather, zium is allowed. Why is one allowed to wrap the tree up with the dung and take care of the wound that's in the tree? But one is not allowed to prune on shvi'it. Maishna zium to shari on shvi'it. Maishna gizum to osar on shvi'it. He says again, midomi, how can you compare these cases? Zium ukume ilono vishari gizum avruye ilono vasur. This is a very fundamental principle in shvi'it, which is that zium is the sustaining of the tree. It's the sustaining of the status quo of the tree. If you don't do the zium, if you don't wrap up the wound on the tree or where the bark's missing with the dung and wrap it up over there, the tree will deteriorate. So you're doing this work over here is maintaining the status quo of the tree, not allowing to deteriorate. That is allowed on shvi'it. Gizum, pruning, which is avruya ilana. What is that? That's not doing something to maintain the tree. That's to strengthen the tree. That's to improve the tree. That you're not allowed to do. You cannot improve the tree itself. That you can't. That's avodah dekarka. That's a problem on shvi'it, improving the tree itself. This heter of ukume ilane on shvi'it turns out to be a major machlok between Rav Kook and the Chazon Ish. Rav Kook, who was more makil when it came to Heter Mechira, and was the proponent of Heter Mechira, is much more conservative or limiting when it comes to Kume Ilone. The Heter to work the fields or the trees, or to maintain or sustain the situation, he was very mitzamtzeim, he was very limited in that. On the other hand, the Chazon Ish, who was against the Heter Mechira, and he was much more rachav, expansive in his view of what was considered a kume iloni. And those that eat from Utzer Aretz or those perot that are kedushat shvi'it, they really rely on the kume iloni of the Chazon Ish. And that's because they plant, many people plant a couple of days before Rosh Hashanah, and then based on that, the Chazon Ish says, well, everything's a kume iloni. To keep the tree in its normal pattern of growth and its normal trajectory of growth is considered a kume iloni according to the Chazon Ish. So based on that, they're allowed to continue to work the fields and water the fields and to keep the growth of these plants or sustain the growth of these plants. So actually, it turns out that the Chazon Ish was very machmir by Heter Mechira, is actually very makil by Kumei Ilone, and that heter or that leniency by Kumei Ilone is what's relied upon for those farmers that are planting before the Shvi'it and use either the Otzer Beit and Otzer Aretz, which is also another heter, another idea of the Chazon Ish. Bela Azium Azium Kakashli. No, the problem is between Zium, the two different types of Zium. Diktani, over here, Matlinu Mazimin Bishvit. Our Brayta that we brought over here, that Rabbi Yirmiyah brought, Rabbi Bar Yirmiyah brought, was said that Matlin, deworming the trees and wrapping them up on Shvi'it is Mutar. Vermini, we have another bright way. It's Mishnah, really Mishnah and Shvi'it. Mizamin et anitiot bikorchim otan. One is allowed to wrap up the wounds on the nitiot bikorchim otan, and you can tie them up. Vikotmin otam, right, and they can either smoke them out or to put ash on them. Vosim lehem batim, and you can make little housings around them where they place dirt in them. Umashkin otam, and you can give them to drink ad Rosh Hashanah, until Rosh Hashanah. Ad Rosh Hashanah, it. That's true until Rosh Hashanah. Bishvi'it, lo, but in Shvi'it itself, no. So what do you mean? Now, we just said before in the Braita that Rabbah Bar Yirmiyah brought, that you're allowed to be Mizahim on Shvi'it itself. Over here, it says only until Rosh Hashanah before Shvi'it you're allowed to do it. So Mar says, V'dilma k'dor v'kbar v'chamo. No, maybe that, we can explain the difference here between Rav Ukman Bar Chama. Damar Rav Ukman Bar Chama, Trei Kishkushei Havu. Right, so there's a problem in the Gemara in Sukkah and Moed Katan, where one part of the Gemara says that Kishkushe is Asur, and one that says Kishkushe is Mutar. So how do we understand the difference between Kishkushe? One is Chadle Vruyin Lana, Basur. One, Kishkushe means to like hoe, or to move the dirt around underneath the tree, to mix the dirt around the tree. That, the one that's Asur, is when it comes to improve the tree itself. The other one is it comes to fill in the cracks or cover over the roots. In that case, where the tree is exposed, and if you don't do it, the tree will deteriorate. That you're allowed to do. So that's the same thing over here. So maybe we should say over here that there are two different types of zume. One of them is to maintain this tree. So that would be the answer, the same answer we gave before, which said the difference will be between sustaining or maintaining the tree, or improving the quality of the tree. One is allowed on Shvi'it, one is not allowed on Shvi'it. No, the problem is sicha, detani, because it says over here, sachin shemen digzom, ben bimoed, uben bishvi'it. It says one is allowed to, in our bright that is brought by Rabbi Bar Yirmiyah, that you're allowed to put shemen on the gzom, on the pruned area, on the exposed area, whether it's cholamoid or shvit. Rimini. Sachin et pagin, umnakvin, umifatim on Rosh Hashanah. One is allowed to put shemen onto the pagin. The pagin are the unripened fruits, they're the beginning of the emergence of the fruits, the unripe, whether it's dates over here or figs. So over here, you're allowed to place on those items, you're allowed to place shemen on them. And one is allowed to, menakvin, you're allowed to put, you know, poke holes in them to allow them to expand, umfatminotam. And one is allowed to put, Rashi says, shemen in the cracks of the date, ad Rosh Hashanah. That's only to until Rosh Hashanah Shvi'it. Ad Rosh Hashanah in, bishvi'it lo. So Gemara says, me, dami, how could you compare them again? Hachi ukume ilona bishari, hatam pitume peiro biasur. Over here, one, the sicha, when you place it on the cut pruned area, you put the shemen on there to cover over the cut. That's to maintain or sustain the tree. That's allowed. Hotam, over there by the case, you're talking about the fruits, pitume peiro biasur. Over here, putting the oil on the fruits is not to sustain or maintain the fruits. That's to make the fruits bigger, fatter, juicier. That's not allowed. That's improvement of the fruit itself. That's problematic on Shvi'it. So now, Amalei Rav Sama Breid Rav Asher the Ravina. So, over here, it's Rabbi Bar Yirmiyah. According to this, Rabbi Yima Sicha de Moed, Azim de Moed Kakashule. The problem here, or the problem in this Breita, you, Ravina, came along and answered all the questions and said, what's the problem? I can answer all the questions. I'll tell you what the problem is. Sicha de Moed, Azim de Moed. The problem is between the placing the oil on the cut, on the pruned area on Chol HaMoed, which is Mutar, and Ziyum de Moed. If you have bark that's peeled off the tree, there you can't put the dung and wrap it up. That you're not allowed to do, Kakashile. Why not? Michte, Hayukume, Vahayukume. Both of those are done to sustain or maintain the tree. So why is one allowed on Chol HaMoed and one not allowed on Chol HaMoed? Maishna Hay de Shari, or Maishna Hay de Shasur. Why is one Mutar and one is Asur? So, you know, that's what he said to him. Late Nagar v'lo Bagar d'Farkina. There's nobody who can answer this question. And the Gemara leaves it. That's it. The Gemara does not take any further. Says that is a problem. Why is there a difference between these two types of avodah? Right now, this But a couple of things I want to point out over here. One is, Rashi says, why are you allowed until Rosh Hashanah to work the nitiyot? Why are you allowed to do that? Before we brought a braita that says you're allowed to deal with these trees, pile up dirt around them, water them, do all this avoda until right up to Shvit, right up to Shvit. So Rashi says over here, working trees is already problematic 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. These are the 30 days before Shvit are only a din d'rabbanan. It's a din d'rabbanan. Rabbanan suspended the din when it came to the nitiot. Nitiot are young saplings that have been grown over here, and whether it's for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael or to maintain so there won't be a hefsed gadol, there the Chamim suspended their rule. Now Tosfos over here says, I don't understand Rashi. What do you mean? We don't have such a thing. Where do you ever find this? The Lamed Yomer suspended. He says, the Lamed Yomer for Rosh Hashanah, where are you going to say it's mutar? Because who's this like? If it's like Rabbi Akiva, he says Tosefet Shvit is min der Torah. Tosefet Shvit is doraito. So mi becharish v'katzir tishvot. Ikra Rabbi Shmo. It's going to Rabbi Shmo. Halacha l'Moshe v'Sinai. That's halacha l'Moshe v'Sinai. It's not a din d'rabbanan. You take your pick. The extension of Shvit, Tosefet Shvit onto Erev Shvit, is either a din doraito or it's a din halacha l'Moshe v'Sinai. Either way, you can't say it's a d'rabbanan when they suspended the din over here. So what's going on over here? Eliyish lefaresh. So Tosfos explains the Gemara. Different says that we're talking about Shvit bizman hazeh v'rabihi. Talking about Shvit today, which is a din derabonon. And according to that, if it's a din derabonon, then we're talking about it in a different category whatsoever. So since today Shvit is derabonon, then we have this hakula that you're allowed to go up either up to Rosh Hashanah itself, or if it's a din derabonon, then Tosfos Shvit would obviously be a din derabonon. So that's how Tosfos defines it. Tosfos also gives a second answer, which is important in Tosfos the Shitatot throughout Shas, which is Odiyah Shomar, the Dafka Melachot Harisha Vizriya Havadoraita. Only plowing and planting are problems mina Torah on Shvi'it. Of Ashar Melachot Inalel Midrabanan, but other Melachot are Midrabanan. What is unique to Tosfos over here is that many other Rishonim do not believe that Harisha, plowing on Shvi'it, is a Din Doraita. Most believe that Zriyah Ktsira, which are mentioned in the Torah explicitly by Shvi'it, those are problematic on Shvi'it, and those are problematic midoraita. Harisha is a din derabanan according to most Rishonim. Here you see Tosfos in other places says that Harisha is midoraita. Plowing on Shvi'it is also a din derabanan. And it's turning out because of Rabbi Akiva, who says Harisha Batsir Tishbot means that Tosefet Shvi'it is problematic min Torah. So if that's the case, Harish Katsir is in Tosefet, then certainly Shvi'it itself is going to be problematic. And therefore he says Harish is classified as being a din d'oraita or a malacha d'oraita on Shvi'it. So that you see from Tosfos over here. That's one thing, important Tosfos. The Tosfos before that, Tosfos is also very important, which is Eimat Lin Mezamin. So he says, Umiyamari kon she'inu aved. We know that a Chol HaMoed, Mlecha, that is, Dover HaAveid, something that's going to cause a loss, or if you don't do it now, it will be lost forever. In that case, you're allowed to do Melech HaMoed. So he says, wait a minute, this whole Breita that's wrought by Rabbi Berimia says you can't do these things on the Moed. So he says, it must be that these aren't Dover HaAveid, that if you do it a week later after the Moed, it will do the same benefit and the tree will be sustained. If not, it'll be a Dover HaAveid, and Dover HaAveid you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. So it must be that it's not a Dover HaAveid here. That's what Tosfos says. Go on chain HaAveid, but I'm tenad achar HaMoed. Dim lo kein shari. Kim du hukum ve'ilanu. All the melachot that are being done here to sustain or maintain the tree, it'll be a Dover HaAveid, so therefore it's mutar. Then he gives a second answer. This is a very important. The first answer makes sense. The second answer gives a huge chiddush. Inami afilu HaAveid, mamash. He would lose the tree. Ikaleimar dasur b'moed mishum tircha yitera. It says, even if it's Malach HaAveid, that you'll lose the tree, since it's a Tircha Yitera, since it's undue, it's unnecessary and extra labor that we don't want you involved with on Moed, even in the face of Dover HaAveid, we're not going to let you do it. Even Dover HaAveid, but Tircha Yitera, you can lose the tree, and that's it. You can't do it. Now we do, we have examples like that in Moed Katan, of things that are Dover HaAveid, but because they're Tircha Yitera, we don't allow it. But here, it's a big loss. It's a huge loss. It's going to lose the whole tree. So it says, maybe we stand up and say, even Dover HaAveid, but it's Tircha Yitera, we're not going to let you do it here. Now the Gemara moves on to another item, which is Amar Yehuda Merav Avodat Kochavim Shovdim Oto B'Makel. That this is Avodah Zarah that is worshipped through a stick. So what do? You have to, Rashi says over here, Makel means that you bang a stick on the ground. You bang a stick on the ground in front of the Avodah Zarah. That's the worship of the Avodah Zarah. You bang a stick on the ground. Shavar Makel B'Fanah. If he breaks a staff in front of it, Chayav. Zarak Makel B'Fanah. If he throws a staff at it, then he is Patur. Why is breaking this rod or breaking the staff something that is problematic. Why? Because it's like zvicha, it's like shechting an animal. When you shech the animal, what are you doing? You're killing the animal, you're making it, you're taking away its present function or life force. So what's the taking away of a function of staff? You break the staff. So over here, since you're taking the staff and breaking it, it's as if you shechted the staff to the Avodah Zarah. So that's why it's considered to krov an Avodah Zarah, it's problematic. Zorak Nami, why do you say when he throws the staff the same thing? Avikain Zrika, it's like throwing the Zrika Tadam. And that'll be exactly the same. So Amalei, he answered back to him, Rabbah says back to him, Beinan Zrika Mishtaberet. We need Zrika that breaks up. What does it mean that Zrika that breaks up? Falakan, you don't have it. So Rashi explains over here, when it comes to sprinkling of dam, when you sprinkle the dam disperses when you sprinkle it. It breaks up into individual component parts. So that's considered a shvira. That you need that type of zrika. Over here, when you throw the staff remains totally intact. So that's not similar to the zrika that we do, the zrika bifnim. So that's now that's the definition. Now Rashi said over here, Shaver Makel Bufanel, or Rashi over there says that he breaks the staff or he cracks the staff in front of it, that's considered to be problematic. Tosus over here says, Vuadin de Shaver Avanim lifnei Markulus, Shadarko Bezrika. So it says it's the same thing, it would be the same thing by a Markulus. It's not just true of an Avodah Zarah that you worship with a staff. Now it has to be that you worship the Avodah Zarah with a staff. You can't just break a staff in front of anything, that would be problematic. It has to be an Avodah Zarah that's worship with a staff. Over there, if you break it, that's like Zrika Dadam. Sorry, like Shechita. So also over here, he says, by Markulus. What's the way you worship Markulus? You throw stones at it. So also, if you break stones in front of the Markulus, that'd be like Shechita, because using the stone, which is the way you worship the Markulus, and break in front of it, that'd also be considered a Avodah Zarah. Now, Eitveh, we have a problem with this. Safat Latsoa. Now, Rashi says, Safat Latsoa means that Hayechi Latsoa. He fed the Avodah Zarah excrement. Or he poured a libation of urine in front of it. So that's what he did over here. Tosa says, Savat bat Savat does not mean to feed it soa, but rather it means to lichlichab it soa. He adorned it. He decorated, he plastered it with soa. Alright, so that. Chayav. Over there is chayav. Bishlama avich shomei miraglayim. When he pours urine as a libation in front of it, ika zrika mishtaberet. Over there you have the same type of zrika that you have by dam. You're pouring a liquid, and now the liquid is being broken into component parts. That makes sense. Elatsoa my zrika mishtaberet ika. When you throw, when according to Rashi, you feed the tsoa to the Avodah Zarah. According to Tosafot, you plaster on it. It's still a single unit. The single unit, then it's not breaking apart, right? You still have this, the whole thing. So Gemara says, we're talking about b'tsoa lach lach or lecha. Talking about a moist or wet tsoa. So since it's moist or wet, when you feed it to him or you sprinkle on him, it's going to break up. It doesn't stay together. It doesn't harden together. So that's the we'll stop the Gemara over here. Now Rashi says, chayav over here, afila eino avodata b'kach. Even if you don't worship the item with this, that you're chayav over here, if you pour a libation of Meirei Raglayim, or you feed it Tzoa, according to Rashi, according to Tosafot, you plaster with Tzoa, Rashi says, even if it's not a vota with it, that's okay. That's considered a vota, not okay, that's a vota Zara, and you're going to be chayav. Tosafot jumps on and says, what are you talking about over here? How could it be? What does Meirei Raglayim and Tzoa have to do with the Avodah Zara? It says, you have to say that they normally did something like this. Because if you don't do something like this, then how could you connect between the tzoa and the meirei raglayim? You know, when you're talking about avodat bifnim, when you're talking about avodat bifnim, you have to have two things. Either it's like avodat bifnim, which is like you shecht an animal, you sprinkle blood. That's avodat bifnim. Or, if you're going to say it's similar to avodat bifnim, it has to be something that's relevant to this avodah zarah. Like the makel before. When you had the makel before, we said that the makel was the way they worshipped it. So then when you break the makel, you're doing something with a vehicle or an item that's normally used to worship the avodah zarah, and then you're breaking it. On the other hand, if you do something else which has nothing to do with the Avodah Zarah, then it's not going to be meaningful. So Tosafot says over here, if you're going to say that it's not worship like that, you at least have to say that it has some relevance. Over here, that there's some shaykhut that they normally did this. And that is, that will be considered or classified being a Avodah Bifnim because it was normally done this. Rabbeinu Chananel, on the other hand, if you say, Ukimda b'tsoa lacha shemechatechet, v'uk ein chaticha ever ever. So the Rabbeinu Chananel says over here, why is it tzona tzoa lecha, lacha? Is that when we said before it was moist, that when you sprinkled it, it was like a zrika mishaberet. It's like a sprinkling that divides up into component parts. He says that's not why it's like avodat bifnim. It's like avodat bifnim because it breaks up into pieces. That's like splitting the animal into its component parts. When you take the animal and sever it into its parts and you put on the mizbeach, so it's over here, when you put the toe on and it breaks into component parts, that's like the aver aver of the of the Bifnim, Avodah Bifnim. By the end, you're going to have to say something like Tosus, which is that if you say it's not worship normally in this way, it still has to be something that's relevant to this Avodah Zarah. So it has to be relevant that they normally did something like this, or normally did some sort of adorning of the Avodah Zarah in this way, so that it makes it a normal case, and therefore, since it's similar to Avodah Bifnim, that becomes problematic. If it's nothing to do with the Avodah Zarah at all, and you're doing something that is not even relevant, then how can you compare it to Avodah Bifnim if it's not Shayach to this Avodah Zarah? Okay, we'll stop over here.